We have gone beyond our target amount, even with, if you back this reduction out, the $742,000, we're still with, above or beyond our $5.5 million reduction. So if it's the interest of the committee not to take the reduction at all, that's certainly fine.
Could I ask a question? What would be the effect of just reducing the statewide mineral survey by the amount shown rather than shifting that to the permanent fund? What would actually be lost to the state or the public if those dollars were just eliminated?
What would be lost is the progress towards ever having a database on which mineral exploration could be conducted. One of our problems in Alaska right now is that on a gross scale, a coarse scale, I guess that really is the word I should use, we don't have a lot of information for various mineral companies that come in as to where they might do their prospecting. In this case, the suggestion was, number one, of looking to the permanent fund, because there is an interaction of our geological survey function in the broadest sense with the longer-term permanent fund earnings, since they do share in the oil and gas, coal, mineral wealth, royalty, rents, and bonuses. Secondly, this item here also, from my point of view, in particular in the mineral area, again, as we talked about this in the subcommittee, didn't really bring out a lot, but the federal government is also a considerable source of funding here, potentially. Not under any general program they have, but since they are the two-thirds landowner of Alaska, since we're entitled to 90% of the mineral income from those federal lands, I think we have a legitimate beef with them that they have not invested any money to even vaguely catalog the resource potential of all those federal lands. And again, I think we have a very legitimate argument to go to them and ask for these kinds of levels of money of support of very coarse-gridded, good geological, geophysical, geochemical-type information which permit many things to happen. And again, I have no big hang-up as to how we play this number on this budget sheet, but I would say to you that our intent is to try to shift the funding of that geological survey to a number of different sources other than the general fund. Because the important thing for the geological survey is to have a continuity of funding over a period of years so they can do a multi-year program and really build an information base. So I have no objection to your suggestion on how you might want to handle this money.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you. Approximately how much of the state's land area has been surveyed, the basic geological survey today.
Representative Copeland, that's a little hard to describe. we're a state where, to the level of even detailed surface mapping, we haven't even covered our whole state, let alone the subsurface. There are very minor portions of the state where there is a good level of modern information. The vast majority of the state, there is not even what I would call modern information available. The simplest example is the federal government over 20, 25 years ago did some geochemical work. It involved several thousand data points across Alaska. That analysis is so out of date in terms of the technology of analysis that it's almost worthless today. You would not call that a database today. Fortunately, those samples exist. They could be reprocessed for, you know, a mere $1 million or something like that. But that's a multi-year program, but that's the kind of things we ought to be looking at, is to provide very broad, modern data-type coverage.
The last time we discussed this in the first session of the legislature, you were tying it to the state land selection. That work progressed.
Representative Kopanen, basically we have finished one summer program of work. This summer we will finish the other half of the work, and we will be done with our mineral assessment work by basically this fall. Following that, the geological survey needs to get back into the database business, which is really what their job is, in service really to all types of subsurface exploration. That's what we're really dealing with here. And I guess what I'm trying to suggest to you is we transition back from state land selection appraisals, which I think they've had a significant impact on. We need to find other funding so that they can continue at a fairly high level of database building.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Boyer.
If we can move to the next item, I think that there's probably enough concern about that one. That was a subcommittee recommendation, so I will not move for the adoption of that at this point. Under the unallocated reduction, though, Commissioner, have you worked up how you would spread that reduction so that we can have a more informed motion, of course?
Representative Boyer, we have gone through and listed out some ideas. And I'm not going to say the sum total works out perfect, but I think it will give you a feel for what we have looked at here. First of all, we did in our recent organizational change save a director's job in the Division of Management. And we had counted that as part of our unallocated. And that was $107,500. Additionally, Sharon Barton, as the deputy commissioner now, taking over all the support service functions, has just really started to work through what kind of savings that can be achieved there. But I think, as with any of the departments of state government, we have a number of administrative functions that are performed within each of our divisions. And we've got to believe there is some opportunity for consolidation there. Our approach to that would be to ask the Finance Committee to consider DNR's budget being made in three basic BRUs, one being management and administration, one being resource management, one being fire suppression. We would be happy to take at least $100,000 off the management and administration for what I've just described, this combining of it. Of it. Resource management?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where the...
Oh, yeah, okay. The money would shift out of resource management. Okay. We have identified at least some other known administrative-type positions that can be eliminated. Then we have about three other ideas that we can look at. One is... a sale of receivables. The department holds a considerable long-term flow of cash in the form of payments. Some portion of that is saleable. It could be combined, that financial transaction could be combined with the collection duty being put outside the department. That's one we'd like to study over time here. There are a number of other things in terms of bonding requirements and other things like that that we could look at. And then finally, the one card we have not played at this point is to look at the Division of Oil and Gas and the fee structure there. While there is some improvement, some increase in the fee structure in oil and gas, there is obviously an opportunity there to increase it more. And we had not counted that in any of our program receipt type offsets. And we felt that that could contribute towards that. That sum is not to the $524,000, but those are about the ideas we have to find. I guess I would just ask or just say to you that we remain in the belief that this is doable, even if I can't identify to you right now exactly how to do all of it. At the level of budget we're dealing with, finding these kind of smaller things that add up to this just through good, tight management is just not that hard to do. And that's why we identified it. I think we can do it without reducing program and having any other implications like that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Motion is to accept that reduction. Is there objection? Without objection, that is accepted.
Mr. Chairman, the next item that I think needs some discussion by the commissioner is the whole area of the Division of Water, and the reduction proposed here is would be to reduce GF and allow and then proposing GF program receipts. Now that's predicated on the passage of a fee bill that would allow for the sale of water resources from the state of Alaska. We have a subcommittee formed that has yet to meet because chiefly because we've been tied up on the budget. But if we do not pass fee legislation, this reduction would be devastating, I think, to the division and to some of the programs that are ongoing programs in that division. So I wanted the commissioner to be able to share, one, the general philosophy, and then, two, give us a sense of what it means if we take the reduction here and don't provide the opportunity to collect the fees.
Can I make a suggestion on that? Because I believe that if we're not going to pass the bill, then we probably ought not to take this. Is that what you're suggesting?
It's certainly not at this level, Mr. Chairman.
And what I would like to do, I guess, is take what level we can, and then in the fees bill, attach a fiscal note that would show the additional reduction in program receipts, and handle it that way rather than try to take it out of the budget.
You could handle it either way, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, obviously the water fees legislation and the authority to raise or have fees on water is a major policy call of the legislature. It also, in this case, has major budget implications on it. And again, you've stated it the obvious way. If the fee structure is not there, that represents, in our mind, a major policy decision, and we would adjust anyway the budget and organizational realities to reflect that policy.
Any idea how much of a reduction you could take in that division if we didn't pass the fees bill?
Let me sort of go both sides of this. If as a policy decision, water has value and there is fee opportunity on it, then we believe that division should be more than self-funding. It should throw off money to the general fund. If there are no fees possible on water, water is a resource that we do not see as having that kind of a value, then we've probably gone the wrong way organizationally, and we just go back to a pre-division of water approach where it is just part of a stewardship responsibility. It's not an active resource management responsibility, so we drop back to very few people.
We've got a few other resources like that.
I know.
Representative Ulmer.
Well, let me ask that question just slightly differently. It used to be the Division of Lands and Water.
Right.
And now we have two different divisions. How much more does it cost the state of Alaska to have those two separate divisions as opposed to, for example, going back to one division, as you indicated in your remarks, might be appropriate given your need to reorganize?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vollmer, when we organized the division, we did it out of existing budget. There was no new budget passed. So a division director was created out of vacant positions that would have done something else had we not organized the division. We simply brought in or shared clerical help and administrative help from either those sections that came in to the new division, or in the case of administrative help, they're sharing that with the Division of Mining. So were we just to break apart the division, put it back into the other existing divisions, I would have to tell you that only the director's salary, which would be somewhere between $80,000 and $100,000 cost to the state with benefits, would be saved. Those other administrative positions or support positions would be needed back where they came from.
So the 1404.9 is really, in a sense, an increment above the current level of effort, or how much of that used to be in the Division of Lands? All of it, except for the division director?
The way I guess I look at the creation of the Division of Water was we took two functions that existed fundamentally. One was an adjudication function, which is really just an allocation of resource. It's not a very active management of a resource. Other than people coming to you saying, how do I split with the other guy, you don't really do a lot. And we had a few people working on water allocation. Other than that, as far as water rights, other things like that, we were just simply putting stuff in the file. We didn't even care whether people had applied. We were not checking to see if people had applied for water rights. On the other side, we had an effort as part of the geological survey that looked at what I would call water information, water data type needs, provided the groundwater and subsurface expertise in water. And they worked on specific projects around the state and gathered information. What we've done in creating the Division of Water is to pull together those two elements of resource management together. But more importantly, we've given it a much more expanded mission, a much more proactive management and stewardship function of water. And what I'm trying to indicate to you is if water is not valued through a fee-type structure, then we would be better off to return management-wise to where we were. In other words, it just does not fit a higher profile, and that is what is reflected here, is a much higher profile. This is a much more active informational program. It is a much more active program asserting the state ownership of waters, and it's a much more active program in terms of making sure that people have secured their water rights.
So would you say the much more active part of it would be a couple hundred thousand dollars?
I don't know how to answer that.
I mean, can you put a number on that so that we can decide, you know, if we can afford it?
Representative Ulmer, the 1.4 listed here is a shift of current general funding to program receipts. It is not new positions. So,
but if we don't do the program receipts, if we don't generate the fees, and then, you know, how much of this new active effort can be quantified and reduced, or is it just that you're not doing something else at that level?
Representative Ulmer, I'm just going to have to guess with you a little bit on it, but I think the number you stated might be a fair way for you to approach that decision. In other words, certainly I commend hopefully a positive policy decision here. But if that's not to be, if that is the decision, I don't want you to think you've saved more than a couple hundred thousand dollars, if I can put it that way.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to move for the reduction number to be 154.6. That essentially is the director's office and the administrative staff support.
And what line, Mr. Chairman?
And on line number, the bottom line on that page, which says water, established water use and sales, instead of 1404.9, the number 154.6.
Mr. Chairman, are you deleting positions here with this? Or?
Yes.
What was the motion again?
The motion is to, instead of accepting the reduction of 1404.9, mm-hmm. I'd move that 154.6, which is what I think the director's office and administrative support staff is for that new broken out division, which would, I think, result in them combining it or with Division of Land again. And that is if we don't pass, if we then pass the fees bill, we can fund the rest of that.
Mr. Chairman, just again, so I understand what you've done here. I think I do. What you've put the amount down to is what is in jeopardy if you don't pass the fee bill. But you're saying if you do pass the fee bill and the budget authorization isn't enough, we can always come back and show you much greater program receipts to justify some other funding.
If I need position.
If we don't pass the fees bill, this reduction is what we've taken out of the budget.
Yeah.
And if we do pass the fees bill, we can show additional reductions in the budget that will be covered by program receipts.
Yeah.
Their objections. Representative Boyer?
No objections, Mr. Chairman, but I think what we would like to do then on the program receipts line is reduce the 1409.9 to 337.0, which was an increment in program receipts authority requested by the department. They already have fee authority to charge fees for water rights applications, temporary water use fees, dam safety application fees, and those types of things.
Yeah.
So they had asked for additional program receipt authority because to deal with backlog problems and other things. And I think that at a minimum we ought to increase their program receipt authority to pick up those additional dollars. So I would move that we adopt in the program receipts line 337.0.
Okay, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just looking at their water management overview page, they're showing 1404.9 as general fund receipts right now, in addition to 711 in GF program receipts.
I think that's just based eliminated on them. That's based on the fees bill. Is that correct?
Our budget assumption was entirely that the fees bill passed.
Okay, so you're moving to increase the 711 by 337?
Correct.
And what are you backing out since there's no general funds there to...
154.6.
I mean, I guess my question is, if they're showing all of these people, and if you look at it, you know, it's transfers from all over DNR, from ag, from various places to make up this water division, and those people, doesn't look like they're general funded. It looks like if we didn't pass the fee bill, there isn't money in the budget to fund those positions. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, dam safety is a combination of federal funds, general fund program receipts, and pure GF. Hydrologic survey is a combination of program receipts, pure GF, and some federal and
there's
some
IAs. There's no pure GF shown here.
Mr. Chairman, the amount that's being shifted over, this 1404 that's being shifted, assuming the fee bill, is now general fund in the water budget.
Right.
Even though the budget document says it's program GF receipts?
It should be reflected as GF. Currently, we are proposing in the 93 budget that it be GF program receipts.
He just denied that by making the reduction only 154.6. The dollars are still GF in the budget.
I guess I wonder whether they are.
They are currently.
In 92, they are.
Right. In 93 budget, it's based on these general funds currently, and what, right? And the recommendation is that the fee bill be passed, which means you could back out 1404.9 of general fund dollars and fund it through program receipts. But currently in the budget, in the documents, in the FY93 proposal, it's general fund dollars.
In the FY92 budget, it's general fund dollars. In the 93, it's general fund program receipts.
Uh-huh. I guess my question to restate is, if the bill is not passed, what happens to those people that are apparently funded through program receipts?
Has there been an amendment? Because
she's about 93.
I've got the 93 short.
Well, I've got the 93 short that shows GF receipts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And that's general fund dollars.
Mr. Chairman, the proposal was made assuming the fee bill would pass.
Right, and I'm just asking, if the bill doesn't pass, is there general fund money in the budget to cover these positions?
There would not be, no.
The whole 1404 goes away? All those people go away?
That's what would have to happen if the fee bill didn't pass and you did the program receipts shift in the budget. That's correct. So our proposal is contingent on the passage of the fee bill.
No, that's the fee bill.
It requires the passage of the fee bill.
Where did the money go?
If
you used to fund these people in 92.
Yeah, but Mr. Chairman,
the real GF went somewhere, right?
Commissioner,
again, if I understood your proposal, though, I think I understand what Representative Brown's problem is. But if with what you've proposed, doesn't that problem go away? I guess is.
Not if the money was never there to begin with.
That's what we're trying to figure out. Is the FY93 budget for water management general fund dollars currently, or are within the budget as proposed us? Because the short form says it's general fund. Her detail book shows general fund receipts.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure what you're looking at, but the department's proposal was that it should be reflected as general fund program receipts for FY93 contingent on the passage of the fee bill. And as I understand it, that concerns the committee, the thought that those positions might have to go away if the fee bill isn't passed. A good remedy for that, it seems to us, has been proposed that you simply make that program receipts shift. It seems to me a better proposal might be to make the program receipts shift the 154.6, which the commissioner has said if the fee bill does not pass would indicate the need for a policy decision on water. So then if it does pass, we have the program receipts authority to continue the director's office. The Division of Water would continue to be general funded through this fiscal year, and we would undoubtedly come in next fiscal year and shift that over to program receipts funding.
My problem is this, that if I just don't want to add $1.4 million to the budget right now,
right?
Which is what I'm wondering if in the short form that I have, it shows general fund dollars. In the proposal that the department made, I think you showed a shift from general fund dollars depending on the bill passing. That was one of the department's proposals. Is that correct or incorrect?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Greeney has brought me the short form, and it's clear that the short form shows it as general fund. Our proposal was that be shifted over, so it would. So the general fund is built into the governor's
FY93 budget.
FY93 budget.
Right.
So this, it would not require.
So it wouldn't require additional money. Representative Barnes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the way I understand it, that would not be new money. It would be money that was in the budget FY92, but under two separate categories.
Right.
So you wouldn't be building a new base into the FY93 budget. You wouldn't be adding a new million whatever.
No. But if we pass the fee bill, we could take $1.4 million
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. Right. Right. Yes.
So, Mr. Chairman.
No. Get back to Kay's question.
If we don't, then I'm suggesting we take 154.6 reduction.
I think it should be the other way around.
Well, see, we can't take this reduction.
Mike, wouldn't you reduce the 154 from 1.4?
Right.
And then it would be 1.250.
No. I'm saying that we take the 1.250, we don't accept that reduction now. That right. is attached as a fiscal note to the water fees bill proposal. If that doesn't pass, if it passes, then we have a positive fiscal note.
Right.
If it doesn't pass, we fund it through general funds, which is what's currently reflected.
And to fund the 1.4?
The 1.4, it would be 1.1250.3.
Right. Okay, got it. Okay. That's what I have here.
GF 1250.3.
And Representative Boyer's motion, see, what we're doing right now is not dealing with the fee bill. And so I'm saying we reduce the water management division by 154.6, and Representative Boyer said we should also reflect that we're allowing them additional program receipts of 337.0, because that's what they can get under their existing structure.
Right.
Okay, does that
got it
then Brown? Mean that you back out the 337 out of the 1404?
Yeah, I mean, we have...
So that is a real reduction in GF to shift... No. Yes. You're proposing a reduction by reducing general fund and shifting it to program receipts, 337?
It's new authority. It's just new authority to bring money through the door.
And spend above their budget?
Spend 250.
I think if you're going to, why wouldn't you
new authority if it passes.
Give them, or why wouldn't you back up the general fund in anticipation of those receipts, if they're real receipts?
Right.
That 337 is included in the program receipts regarding the fee bill. I don't know if you need to do that. I might increase it for the rest of that.
So we don't need to have it here. We deal with it all as a fiscal note.
It's in the 7-11.
It's already in the 7-11. Already in the package.
Already, okay. So we don't do 337 at all.
Okay.
You might want to do the 154 so that
it... No, we don't want to do that. Okay, so the motion is to reduce the water division by 154.6. No new program receipt authority. Is there objections?
Reduce it by 154.
Right.
Well, that's where I was getting confused. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, for clarification, then, it's your proposal, as I understand it, that the fiscal note on the water bill be increased by 154.6 so that if it passes, the director's office passes as well.
Correct.
Gotcha.
There are objections. So, without objection.
Just so we make it clear, though, that we fiscal analysis. So the general fund appropriation for the Division of Water should be reflected as a 1250.3.
Right.
New.
Okay.
Any objections? Okay, on the next page, Department of Natural Resources, Commissioner's Office.
The subcommittee had proposed deleting one special assistant. Currently, there are two, and as I found out, they're very much both alive and doing well, so these aren't vacant positions. This would be the elimination of a position.
Mr. Chairman, I can speak to it quickly. FY92 Commissioner's Office is 11 personnel authorized. We have proposed 8 in the 93 budget. That is what we have basically on board right now. We have the Commissioner and the Deputy Commissioner in front of you. We have a special assistant in Juneau and Anchorage. The special assistant in Anchorage is necessary because all of the divisions except for the Geological Survey headquarters in Anchorage, neither here nor in Fairbanks, but they're all in Anchorage. So the commissioner has to have some presence there, somebody to work with as the commissioner's office in Anchorage. In addition, we support as part of the commissioner's office the head person of the Soil and Water Conservation Boards. We provide the only full-time staff to the Soil and Water Conservation Boards. I used one of my previous special assistant positions to accomplish that purpose, and that purpose is entirely devoted to the soil and water conservation effort. I might add to you, we've also, because of the elevation of importance of that group in the commissioner's office, we right now have a federal loanee on full time at no cost to us in that office. And so we've really picked up some real impetus there in the soil and water area. Additionally, there's a secretary in Juneau and a secretary in Anchorage and a clerk typist assistant in Juneau. The secretary and clerk typist serve both Sharon and myself, and the secretary in Anchorage basically handles all the matters up there. In addition, there's one other very important person, Marty Rutherford, who is the Resource Restoration Coordination Council designee of the Attorney General of myself. In other words, she is our representative to the Exxon Valdez oil spill trustee group. She should be oil spill funded at some point. I don't know if we have achieved that. Okay. She is oil spill funded. That's where we sit. I'll commend to you, that's a fairly tight organization, given I got all my divisions in Anchorage.
Yeah. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move.
For a second. This was a recommendation. We were looking for additional areas, so the subcommittee had made this recommendation, but I think with you've got about 900 employees in Anchorage, give or take 50 or
something.
Seasonally, yeah. I mean, it's a lot to manage, and there ought to be some presence, I think, by the commissioner's office in Anchorage. So if there's another opportunity, there are probably other bodies that you'd take before you took this one.
Representative Brown?
I agree with that. I would think, indeed, in DGGS, you've got 35 full-time people, 4 part-time people, 22 temporary people. I'd rather see us take one of those people, recognizing that, it's an incremental impact to the database collection effort, which is something that's going to be going on for many years versus this management. So I suggest that we...
How about if we increase the unallocated reduction by 70.4? Their objection. Representative Phillips.
Sharing, getting a blush.
Representative Phillips, I guess it's
these are. Clerk. I'll tell you frankly, these are the positions that the public is really talking about. Okay, well, and I'm not. You know, I'm not going to be part of this. I've been here a long time. I've seen nothing but special assistants and all these other people being added over the years, and there's a point in time where we have to say no.
Yeah,
so I'll say no.
I understand that, but I guess I have to say that one of the things that we have done in every department is cut management at the commissioner's level over the last 4 years. We have done that to every single department where our commissioner's office, who should be managing and should be telling us where reductions can be made and things like that, are crisis managing the whole agencies. Representative Barnes.
Mr. Chairman, I heard the commissioner say that he was allocated when he took office 11 positions in this under his office, and that he now has only 8. I think he's to be commended for lowering it by 3 people, and I certainly believe that he needs someone in Anchorage in charge. And it would appear to me he's running a very tight ship here, that he's done a good job of bringing down the top management, and I would ask Representative Phillips to consider that. And the proposed reduction of another deputy commissioner, that, you know, you can only be split so thin to be able to accomplish the job, and I certainly believe that as many people as he has in Anchorage, he ought to have one deputy commissioner there.
Mr. Chairman, to thank Representative Barnes, but also to just make sure you understand, the deputy commissioner in this case, I also, in the restructuring here, we saved the director of division of management. We eliminated that position. So, I mean, not only are we at 8 in the commissioner's office, we did save the division director. So Sharon has to do the normal deputy type responsibilities, but also what you might normally see as a division director job of management. We're stretched kind of thin.
Mr. Chairman, we all have to make sacrifices.
I know.
Okay. You bet. And you ought to know that because you were here 10 years ago fighting us on the other end. So.
You bet.
The department did have 2 deputy commissioners. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did have 2 slots, and I have basically given up one of those as well as the director of division of management.
Last year, is that correct?
Well, we took one commissioner.
During this year. Yes. During this year, I have given it up. Yes.
Representative Copeland.
Yes, you gave one of the special assistance to the Soil and Water Conservation Administration.
Yes.
How have the functions of that board changed? It used to be a rather somnolent kind of board, essentially set to the Division of Agriculture, dealing with land clearing and so on. So what's changed in that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Copeland, during the first year, basically what we did was move the executive director of the Soil and Water Conservation Districts, which had been a state-funded position, from the Division of Agriculture to the commissioner's office to give it greater stature, to give it a broader thrust, not just agriculture. What we've done here really is assure that we have a high-quality person serving in that position full-time. That has allowed the districts to take a much more aggressive stance. For instance, we are competing right now for maybe $500,000 worth of federal grants to those districts. Again, you have to invest a little bit of that energy and money for these people to become eligible for different kinds of programs. And what we've done is give them a chance to raise their profile. If in a couple of years they've not succeeded, I'd suggest we drop back. But I felt it was worth a chance.
My motion is to amend it to take it as non-allocated reductions. Is there objection?
To
do what? Put it in there or take it out of it?
To add 70.4 to the previous 524.6.
Okay, so it'll be 600 and some odd thousand.
595.
It would be
595. That's okay.
Right. Is there objection? Without objection, that is accepted. Okay, on page 2, I move the reduction of state fairs.
Check for the purposes of information to members. I mean,
Representative Blair.
I just wanted to give you some sense of what goes where and in what amounts. Palmer Fair is in, would be in at 33.8. That's 33,000, 33.8. Delta Fair 8.1. Aniak 4.8. Kenai 17.7. Kodiak 13.7. Glassview 8.1. Haines 17.7. Fairbanks 24.6. I guess it's YK. Yukon Kuskokwim 4.0. McGrath is new, would be new this year, 2.5. Squeezed in there somehow.
Representative Phillips.
I have a question here for the chair. How long have these been in existence?
There's been support for fairs for as long as I've been around here. Representative Barnes would probably know.
Representative Barnes.
We used to just have one fair in this budget.
Right.
And it was the one in Palmer.
Right.
And through the years, everybody that could think of a little fair to put together became part of this budget.
Actually, I think historically, the Anchorage or the Palmer and the Town of Valley Fair were both in.
Not originally.
No.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Chairman, although it seems like a small amount of money, I think the decision we make here could forecast how we're going to deal with grants throughout the budget, and we ought to think broadly as we think about this, because I'd like to see us treat them in a similar manner. And considering how far we are from the goal, I'll support the reduction.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative.
We're going to be looking at other grants. And I agree with the philosophy that we should look at this that way, too. I can support a reduction of 5%, 10%, 25%, whatever we go with the rest. I don't know about complete elimination.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Phillips.
Maybe this is a stage where we ought to have just a basic philosophy or policy here on the 5, 10, 15, 25, rather than a 0 or 100%. Situation, because if you're going to give grants and you're going to have to treat these people equally, unless you want to go and pick and choose based on health and safety priorities for the grants or police or fire or some
state in DNR right now, the reductions that we have, our target was 5.5, and we're now at 5.38, 2.4. So we're within 118,000 of what the target was, and that's sure much deeper than we've been able to do in any other agency.
Well,
most of theirs took all of correct revenue increases, not decreases.
Well, I'm just adding up the reductions that we have taken.
Well, what do you want to do?
Well.
Have a separate meeting on that?
Decision.
Well, we're going to be dealing with other grants tonight. I think that we ought to vote on this and see where we're at. We can always come back and add things back into the budget if we choose. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, I prefer having some kind of set standard criteria to match each of these grants against that criteria versus who can get 6 votes out of this committee.
I'll amend my motion to delete across the budget all the grants. Actually, that doesn't work because there are different types
different
of grants.
Different types.
Yeah. So.
Or,
you want to vote?
Got it.
Even you wouldn't support that.
I will.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
then we go back to ones we want.
Representative Larson.
Yeah, a 25% reduction would be to reduce that reduction from 132.5 to roughly 100.
How about if we do this? How about if we pull all of the grants like this out of the budget and we'll deal with them as a separate item when we deal with the front section of the budget tomorrow?
Mr. Chairman, but we should. I agree with that.
We'll go through and identify which of the...
Right, I agree with you on that. Okay. But then we also, as a committee, and then collectively agree on a standard criteria that fits these grants.
We'll get there.
The what?
Well...
You don't want to do that, huh?
The what grants?
I think that they're all different. You can't just say that all the grants are the same.
The money comes out of the same treasury.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
I think it would make sense for us to pick, you know, 10%, 25% for these types of promotional grants. I think, you know, that do a similar type of thing. They're related to tourism. They're related to economic activity. They have value. They've been in the budget. And pick some number we're going to reduce them by and just go with it. And I would not like to see us wipe them out. And I think the grants that are health grants or emergency services grants, the EMS, and different types of things should not, should, you know, should be treated differently. But I think, the, you know, the grants that come to my mind that are similar to the fairs would be the grants in community and regional affairs and the grants in commerce.
And student leadership grants, and that which we took 25%.
So maybe there aren't, you know, I don't know that it's that complicated. Maybe we could, if we could make a decision now on generally how we want to approach those grants, it'll make things, we'll get that behind us as a something we can get off the table.
Am I next?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll tell you what's wrong with that approach. If, for example, you look on this page and you look at state fairs, and right under it you look at Challenge Alaska. Challenge Alaska is for handicapped persons to be able to go out into the wilderness. But if you leave something like state fairs in this budget, every year we add another fair and another fair and another fair. And all you do each time is dilute the amount that's going to any fair till it becomes almost ineffective. If they learned how to rely on themselves, maybe we would, I believe McGrath was added this year, is that correct?
Want to be.
I think so. I just don't believe you can pull them all out and say that we can treat them all the same. I think you have to set, put them in categories.
Ms. Jim?
Calculating the number of POMs we're going to get. Representative Larson.
It's
better
not charging.
We charge for lands, but our government.
We're getting far out now, but I do know that the Alaska State Fair in Palmer is spending a considerable amount of dollars on, you know, handicap accessibility so that they can get around and enjoy the features at the fair.
I'm sorry, would you?
I'm saying that the fairs are spending a considerable amount of their money making themselves more handicap accessible.
What's that got to do with the Challenge Alaska?
Representative Boyd, I think Representative Larson had a good idea. Just to get, we've got a roll. I would move for a reduction of 32.5, which is about a quarter, 25%. Let's see how we deal with the next group when we get there.
Is there objection? Not objection. It's 32.5.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ulmer.
Before we leave agriculture, I'd just like to ask the commissioner a question.
Okay.
It appears that we spend about $1.4 million on general funds for agriculture and about $1.4 million for ARLF as a source of funding. And I am not real familiar with your budget. I've never sat on this subcommittee. But I think there's about $200,000 in it for general promotion that is sort of a buy Alaska agricultural products. Most of the other marketing efforts that we have, tourism, ASME, has some sort of payment made by the industry that benefits from that market development. I'm not aware of any in agriculture. If that's happening, I'd like to know about it. If it's not happening, I wonder if you've thought about some way of charging the group of people who benefit from it some sort of a fee or something so that it's not simply a general fund grant.
Yes, I have thought about it, Representative Ulmer. Just maybe one correction. The Alaskan Grown Program basically is an identification. It's sort of like Buy American type program, the Alaska Grown Program. I believe its funding is down to about $60,000, $70,000. It's not at the $200,000 level. The basic thing coming back out of our Agriculture Policy Task Force is that we think it's important in the support of general agriculture, but more importantly in the support of consumers, that we have programs that deal with the certification, inspection, and identification of Alaskan products. And I've suggested that while we leave Alaska Grown as a very low-cost program, one where you just sort of print up labels, you don't really do a lot of promo-type work, that we really look at much more the what I call certificate type programs, where we can identify quality of products that are grown locally and proceed much more on that, not in an advertising sense, but in a certification sense of the product.
215.
I certainly share your view, and I would hope in the longer term that agriculture in Alaska becomes economically healthy enough that they can afford to have a trade association, that it can afford to take over some of this. In the longer term, I would like to see our only role being as the gatherer and distributor of market-related information in the sense of prices and market-type activity in agriculture, which is quite important to the various segments of agriculture. But other than that, I would like to see the trade associations take on this chore, and I have talked to them about that.
Well, Mr. Commissioner, I guess I should ask the chairman and subcommittee exactly what the amount was. I thought it was $200,000 of general fund dollars. If it's only $60,000, I stand corrected.
It's 215.5.
15 Fed and...
It's 205, right?
Mm-hmm. 200.5.
Okay. That, it's an expensive program if all we're getting from it is a sticker that says grown in Alaska. And I you know, it seems to me highly vulnerable when we're looking at the kind of productions that we're making. And instead of reducing it, I just thought we could perhaps add some sort of program receipts authority to allow you to get contributions from the industry that stands to benefit from it, as we do, as I said, in both ASME and tourism. I guess I just asked the commissioner to think about the viability of something
sure.
like that before we close out this budget.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Representative Larson.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask a question for clarification purposes here, and I guess we're talking about the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, the $200,000, that the funds from the loan fund return to the general fund. Is that the line item we're discussing at this time, or is
no,
something else in addition to that?
No, it's run. It's the promotional part, the $215,000 general fund.
Okay. Again, maybe I missed some, but I wasn't aware we were discussing any individual line item right then.
Okay.
I thought it was a question.
I don't know. I thought there must have been a tie-in because we were discussing agriculture, and that was other than the state fairs. So.
Madam Chairman, for the information of the members, too, we will do a spread on the parks. I'll ask Gary to work with
right.
my staff,
right
and we'll do a proportionate reduction and have as a note then in the budget what the allocation is.
You mean the fairs?
For the fairs, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Representative Larson.
Well, we're on a position where I don't know where we're at. Maybe I could ask a general question. Under the recorder's office, one of the things you have down here, undetermined, the change Title 38 to allow cities and municipalities to assume recording responsibilities. Do you have any update on that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, we have been in contact now with all municipalities in the state to tell them that we are interested in talking with them if they see mutual benefit in doing this in their communities. We've had letters back from six or eight communities wanting more information. We've gone back to those and done some more talking, but that's about where it is at this point. We have no deals for 93. We're looking for a pilot. We'd like to try a pilot in one community.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make sure we're real clear on this. But our motive in dealing with this idea of the municipalities assuming the recording responsibilities was not driven by a dollar savings. It
no.
was a belief that it would provide a better service. And
yeah, it was my understanding, Mr. Chairman, that basically the recording offices around the state provide revenues to match the expenses. Now, that's not true of all recording offices.
Yeah.
Some make more, some make less, but basically it's not a revenue-saving measure.
On a statewide basis, the users of the function pay enough to support.
And I guess that was my concern. And the recorder's office in my district is one of those that make more money, but how's it going to affect the recorder's office and, I believe, Homer, which needs to be subsidized.
Mr. Chairman, we do have some language that we may be putting forward Monday on legislation that would allow the authority or the ability of the commissioner to enter those types of agreements as part of a larger package of things. We'll offer that Monday.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the other, I guess just for absolute clarity here, we need to show the reduction of the $200,000 from the ARLF. And that's, it's was an item that had been offered by the department. It's commensurate with what they're doing, the level of activity there. We just need to actually show it here or make a motion to accept the reduction of $200,000 from the 93 level. And that money just stays in the Ag Revolving Loan Fund.
Okay, that was going to be my question. That if we don't take it here, the money stays in the
correct
loan fund. It doesn't.
Correct. We're not proposing moving it over to the general fund. Just that it stay, not be appropriated from the ARLF.
Okay. I would so move. With that understanding, if you're looking for a motion.
Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Chairman, I'm confused. I thought you were going to have some of the agricultural functions by DNR paid for by an additional $200,000 of ARLF.
No. The total appropriation was 1.4 something out of the ARLF, and we're reducing that by $200,000.
Mr. Chairman, this reduction is to basically reflect the level of activity in terms of demand for services to the ARLF, and it reflects the downsizing of staffing that has taken place recently. And we will just continue what exists today.
And that money would remain in the loan fund?
Yes. It's a lowering of our operating costs associated with the ARLF, which the ARLF normally pays for those operating costs.
Is there objections? Without objections, that's accepted.
That's the last item.
What's the short fishery?
That's just one that has a program receipts. It can be proposed, but it's not a protection. So.
Are we shifting up there?
No, it's like the existing program receipt.
Oh, it was missing.
Yeah, okay. That's mm-hmm. it.
Okay, let's go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The Department of Natural Resources now is will be dealt with any further on Saturday through amendments. We'll start with the Commerce, Commissioner Olds, and then DOT.
Mr. Chairman, we didn't talk about Challenge Alaska. I think that was about the only one, but either leave it the way it is.
Did anyone want to make a motion on Challenge Alaska?
No.
Okay, under tab B, Commerce and Economic Development. We are on page 2. On page 1, APUC, did we decide we were going to deal with that in the legislation?
Yeah. We asked some questions, and we knew, I don't know how long John May is going to be in town, but we probably should at least get from him the, I would like to see us approach the revenue proposal just enough to cover the cost and not the greater amount. So if that's what we need, we just need to get the language and have it ready for consideration whenever we're going to do those.
Mr. Chairman, we had requested some information on the impact of the utilities, and we have yet to see that data.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McClain, Don May and Bob Lohr of the APUC do have that, and it's available right now for your...
Okay. Sure. Commissioner, could we take that first?
Yeah, of course.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I'm Commissioner Don May, the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, and I have my Executive Director, Bob Lohr, with me. We appeared before the committee yesterday to offer the policy option of a utility user fee assessment of 0.6% on intrastate gross revenues for utilities. At that time, several questions came up, and we're back today to answer those questions. I believe the first series of questions are from Representative Brown regarding the viability of the 0.6% figure as a reasonable estimate, and also the total amount of revenues that might be realized, and Mr. Lohr will address that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Lohr with the Public Utilities Commission. Representative Brown, the question you asked yesterday was the estimated amount of money which the 0.6% regulatory assessment charge would generate. And I want to correct an error that I made at that time. The estimate that I mentioned yesterday was wildly optimistic. It was $9 million, and it overstated the amount of revenues which would be produced. In looking at the figures closely overnight and having staff do that, the actual figure is closer to $5.5 million. In scenario number one, the status quo that you have in front of you indicates the rate that would be necessary for the maximum surcharge to produce total revenues of the current commission budget. And the 0.44 regulated surcharge, fully regulated utilities, and the 0.11 certificated only, but not economically regulated, would produce a total revenue of $4,025,679, which compared to the FY93 budget request for the commission, including the increment for the AT&T Alaska market analysis, would yield a surplus of approximately $258,000. I'd be happy to answer any further questions. And I do apologize for the overestimate. On page two of the handout, the scenario number one, status quo, this is an assumption of 0.40 regulated surcharge and 0.10 for utilities which are only certificated but not economically regulated. And with those slightly lower caps, the user fee would generate $3.659 million and leave a deficit of $108,291. And Mr. Chairman, finally, the third page, scenario number two, is in response to Representative Sharp's question yesterday about the effect if all of the cooperatives elected deregulation under AS 4205.712, and if all the municipal utilities were fully deregulated, this computes the revenues which would be produced under that assumption. Specifically, it would reduce the total revenues to $2,783,213, and compared to the FY93 budget request for the commission, would yield a deficit of $984,787.
Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That third page, the one we just talked about, page scenario two, reduction in revenue if all the munis and co-ops were deregulated and wouldn't contribute, it would then bring in $2,783,000, is that what you said?
That's correct.
Well, but you still got a FY93 budget in there figuring that you're going to regulate it. I mean, couldn't you get by fewer people if you got rid of 50% of your regulatory responsibilities?
It's certainly conceivable that the budget requirement would be reduced also by that limited regulation. I would point out, however, that for example, Healy Clean Coal, a major proceeding going on this fiscal year, hopefully not extending into next FY93, but if it does, is a certification proceeding. So there's a major expenditure of commission resources to make the decisions on certificating that major important project. And to do that, the regulated aspect would not apply at all. That would, let's assume Golden Valley were deregulated, Healy Clean Coal would still be in front of the commission for a certificate to operate that plant.
I guess my next question is, in relation to that, is how, do you have any idea what the total total cost of your annual budget is, what you spent on rate cases, and how much you spent on certification, time-wise?
The split,
I imagine most of it's rate cases, isn't it?
That's correct, and the split in the draft bill of the regulated rate being four times as high as the certificated rate is intended to provide a rough measure of how we believe it splits out. It's not an exact measure, and we don't do cost allocation to that extent. The thing that doesn't fit into either of those categories under the current budget approach would be regulatory proceedings, developing simplified electrical or simplified telephone regulations. That's not charged to any parties at this time. That's absorbed out of general fund dollars.
Representative Larson?
Yes, thank you. I'm looking at, page one, scenario one, status quo. That's what it would be if none of the co-ops or none of the munis elected to, I shouldn't say munis, this is what it would be if they elected not to opt out. So page one and page three, what the difference is we assume that they're all out unless they opt in on page three. And on page one, they're all in unless they opt out.
That's close, I believe. Page one reflects exactly the way it is right now. That is, those that have opted out already stay out and are treated at the 0.15 rate, the low rate. Those that are in now are at the 0.6 rate. The difference on page three is that it assumes that all of those that are not out right now vote to go out and successfully persuade the membership that deregulation is in the interest of the members, and therefore they're treated at the low rate under the assessment.
Okay, Madam Chairman.
Yes, Representative Larson.
Yeah, I still kind of favor the first page. However, if we were to consider the last page, I think we would have to go to the proposed rates as we now have them proposed in the legislation to the 0.6% and to the 0.15 instead of reducing those to the 44 and the 11. So that either way, they're kind of revenue neutral for the cost.
Madam Chair, if I may. Representative Larson, a simple way to get from scenario number one to the numbers produced by scenario number one is the provision in the draft legislation which directs the department to annually establish the actual rates within the caps that are established of 0.6 and 0.15. Therefore, we would recommend that the caps remain as in the draft legislation. If you wanted to fine-tune the instruction to the department or to the commission to establish the rates with the intent to only recover the actual amount needed for the budget, that would be one way to produce the numbers on scenario number one without substantive changes in the draft legislation.
Yeah. Madam Chairman, I guess the question I ask myself, and I don't feel this strongly on the opt-in or opt-out, but under the first scenario, if the option has been available to these various utilities and they have elected not to opt out, why would we want to pass a piece of legislation that would automatically opt them out and then force them to take action to opt back in? Are we to the point where we need a motion?
Are there any further questions? We're to the point where we can make a motion. Representative Larson?
Yes, I would move the option with a companion piece of legislation that would enable it, according to the first page that was presented to us.
Okay, there's a motion to accept scenario one with the companion legislation.
That keeps the status quo in regards to the opting out.
Madam Chair. Representative Brown?
Just to make sure I understand, and so you would actually modify the 0.6 to be 0.44 and the 0.15 to be 0.11 rather than have them determine it and annually set it?
Well, it...
Or...
No, it was my understanding that it would remain at the 0.6 but okay. Would be set at the 0.44 level.
Thank you for that clarification. I understand. And before we vote, I'll state my conflict for the record that my husband is a member of this commission.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Brown. Any other discussions? Representative Sharp?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Currently, the cooperatives pay in to the state a percentage of their gross income, part of which is rebated back to the local governments that they may operate. But I don't recall if that's a 50-50 split or all that goes back or what, but I know they are contributing some kind of a...
in lieu of property taxes.
Yeah, to the state. So there is some program receipts coming into the state that's retained from those utilities that other utilities don't pay. So I'm just, as far as the state level, so I'm just wondering, I haven't checked that out, but I know the unincorporated areas, the state retains all revenues derived in the tax on the revenues in unincorporated area, but I don't know what the split is, if any, on the total remitted for organized areas. But I know it's significant for some of the larger utilities. It's $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year. The other thing on opting out, current law says that the majority of at least 15% of the eligible subscribers have to return, have to vote in the election. So when you're talking 50,000 people in Chugach, or I don't know how many, you're talking
29.
Trying to get back at least 7,000-8,000 ballots in the mail, which is pretty difficult to do in itself.
We could work.
It isn't as easy to opt out.
To change
that.
And it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. But the point is, if it's a for-profit utility, fine and dandy. Then you really got a cause for regulation. If they are electing the people, it's running it, who's hiring the people. You know, the need for regulation gets pretty skimpy.
I understand that theory, but I also have to say that those co-ops, very little attention is paid to the management of those co-ops by the members, really.
Well, that
depends on where you come from.
Yeah. It depends on where you come from.
Mr. Chairman?
This guy called Tom Stottlemyre.
If I may, one of the effects of this legislation, if adopted, would be to create an incentive for deregulation on the part of the co-ops in the amount of 0.45% of their gross revenues as adjusted under the bill. That is, one of the arguments which utility management could make is that by voting for deregulation, you would achieve the lower tier under this proposed revenue fee, and there's a 0.45% of gross revenues available to the company or to the membership in the form of lower rates if they elect deregulation. I'm not suggesting that's the rationale for the bill. It's a revenue raiser, but it is an effect of the two-tier arrangement.
Mr. Chairman, just one little follow-up on that, if I may. It's hard for me to justify what the relation is between what the gross revenue is and the amount of regulation required and the taxes that should be paid proposed to fund the regulatory process. When you're paying 10 to 15 cents a kilowatt hour or 2 to 3 cents a kilowatt hour, just because of your source of fuel or your source of power, the ones paying the higher cost per kilowatt hour is paying a hell of a lot more for regulatory than the neighbors that's getting a 2 or 3 cent a kilowatt hour. So, you know, I don't like this gross thing. Maybe a gross less cost of power would be more effective, but to just put it on the gross is pretty gross.
Overly gross.
Okay, there's further discussion. There's a motion to accept. Better call the committee again. Motion to accept the number one proposal.
Scenario one of the company legislation.
Okay.
Chairman, I'll object.
There is objection. See, I kind of like scenario two a little better. Well, I've got to wait till the rest of the committee gets here. I know, but you're not the rest of it. They give you their proxies, Representative Ulmer.
Utilities, revenues grow, they didn't know, right?
Mm-hmm. Trying to see what it's six.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that in relation to scenario number two, that would be where you would set by statute the fixed amount. That under scenario number one, an amount less than the 0.6 could be determined to be needed, and that's in fact
correct.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
The draft legislation contains a mandate to the department to adopt regulations annually to establish the rate within the cap. As we mentioned, there's the possibility there to adopt language similar to that in the Division of Insurance, and we have copies of that available. The basic notion there is that the amount to be raised is targeted to equal the budget of the agency, and therefore we couldn't exceed that in setting the annual fees within those caps.
We could also put a cap in there on what percentage we could allow.
What about utility? Never has a regulatory
service.
Doesn't need a
service. All right. Motion is to accept scenario number one.
And Mr. Chairman, would that then we would take the $3.5 million reduction and adopt? Okay.
Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Phil.
No.
Representative Sharp.
No.
Representative Ulmer.
Yes.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Horne.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Kopanen.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
Yes.
Representative Navarre.
Yes.
7 yea, 2 nay.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Sharp.
That would mean that a utility that had no rate case or anything else before it for several years and received no benefit from the APUC would then still be paying the same as someone that files continuous rate case adjustments.
All right. That is correct.
That is correct.
Commissioner. Commissioner Olds, we're on page 2.
Be nice to him, that's my favorite.
That'd be in the Senate.
Thanks for the warning.
Ramona, is that because he's a Democrat? I am close. Sorry. Couldn't miss.
Okay, we are on page 2.
And we, Mr. Chairman, we had taken down through 24, is that correct?
That's right.
And Mr. Chairman, it's the Commissioner and I have had several opportunities to discuss the remaining proposals here, and he feels quite strongly about several of them remaining in the budget, and perhaps he could share with the committee why these people are so, in his view, to the Department of Commerce.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a little intimidated following your TV presentation last night about the top priority to go in economic development. My wife has packed my suitcase and reminded me we didn't buy anything in Juneau.
Commissioner, I did put a caveat on there, and that is that without a tax-based structure, I don't think we can afford economic development.
Indeed. Well, I want to suggest that, as you well know, the game plan we've had, our main source for providing our government services are really our resource development, and we believe that there are a variety of ways, tax-wise and otherwise, to ensure that the value-added development of both jobs and profit should provide the base of whatever level of support that they provide. But it kind of shook the family up last night, Mr. Chairman. We have 8 people in our department that are responsible for marketing, providing both information, support services, and the recruitment of capital, potential economic development people. And in the context of classified service, if we were to reduce 4 of them, the 4 to go are the following. I mean, this is not a choice that I have. This is prescribed within the mandate of our classified service. We have only one person in Fairbanks in our whole department, Dick Swainbank, who is our mineral expert and dealing primarily with the miners and that and the development of that resource in the interior. I don't want to get into the virtues of these people, but only to say, as I met with the Mining Commission this morning, this area of the state's resource, which characterized its early history, is, we believe, critically important for the resource potential in Juneau here alone. As you probably know, the largest single source of jobs is our Green Creek mine. We believe that these 2 persons are, we are mandated by the state to deliver, to support the commission that has been established by the legislature informationally and in the support base. They would be followed by our timber, we have only one person in timber. We met this morning with the comprehensive meeting with the feds on the Tongass. The economy of Southeast Alaska is pivotally based on our timber development. We have closed 3 of the mills already because we have not been able to ensure the the federal input on that. And we have Commissioner Hines, who's just left, has 47 experts in his field guarding the trees. We have one person trying to appropriately market them. We're even having trouble beating the beetle to the bark in the Matsu Valley and in the Kenai, where we, you know, beetles are wiser than we are when they know when a tree is to be harvested. And we believe that he played a pivotal role in developing the governor's response to the feds on this matter. I've spent myself time in the effort to try to develop the value-added capability. This is a renewable resource. We do not advocate clear-cutting. We believe that the harvest this resource, like the fisheries, are to be renewed. And that's the only person we have. We have one person in fisheries. The state has invested $2 billion plus in the enhancement of our fishery. This last year we spent $42 million in their tending. We spent only $700,000.